Hi, this is Sean Backe from CLNS Radio and the Evening Score Sports Podcast. Kickstart your new year and challenge yourself to learn something new with a free 10-day trial to lynda.com. Lynda.com is used by millions of people around the world and has over 4,500 courses on topics like web development, photography, visual design, and business, as well as software training like Excel, WordPress, and Photoshop. All of their courses are taught by experts, and new courses are added to the site every week. Whether you want to set new financial goals, find work-life balance, invest in a new hobby, ask your boss for a raise, or even find a new job or improve upon the current job skills in 2015, lynda.com has something for everyone. Now, if you sign up today for the free 10-day trial by visiting lynda.com/CLNS, you'll get the benefits of unlimited access to every course on lynda.com. You'll also get access to view tutorials on tablets and iPhone and Android mobile devices, as well as access to new courses added every week. Some of the courses that were recommended for me include analyzing your website to improve SEO, viral marketing, and web analytics fundamentals. Do something good for yourself in 2015 and sign up for the free 10-day trial to lynda.com by visiting lynda.com/CLNS. Go ahead, I challenge you to learn something new in 2015.
Make it louder.
Welcome to the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com.
Off the turnover, Rondo reverse, plants it in.
Fans, this is your destination for interactive Celtics coverage all season long.
Kelly still has time, takes it.
So what are you waiting for? We want to hear from you. Dial in at 347-215-7771.
Green out of the corner, got another one.
Now let's get it started.
What are you waiting for, ladies and gentlemen? Give us a call, 347-215-7771. I am Matt Rury. This is the CLNS Radio Celtics postgame show, and the Celtics end their road trip, their six-game Western Conference road trip in Minnesota. They lose. They drop a tough one, 107-96, and they finish the road trip 3-3, which overall is pretty good. We will get into that shortly. You can follow CLNS Radio on Twitter at CLNS Radio. Tonight, Warren Shaw is tweeting for us at Shaw Sports NBA as well. And the man you hear coughing is my co-host, Calvin Chamberlain. Hello, sir.
No, I didn't cover that up. I tried to cover up the phone.
Gotcha.
Not work, apparently.
But they probably heard that better than they heard Sean's Lynda read at the beginning of the show there. So I will let everybody know more about Lynda a little bit later. And of course, we'll have to pipe that up, I think, going forward. But I don't know why nobody's caught that yet. Anyway, Calvin. Nobody listens to these? Don't say that. Somebody's going to scold us tomorrow now. Celtics lose. This is a tough one. And it just so happens that the one quarter that they really fell apart in, the third quarter, is the one that I did not see most of or any of at all. I saw the rest of the game, so you're going to have to speak to that third quarter and what happened there, where the collapse happened. But I just had to sneeze. I have a mute button though for that. There is other stuff that we can get to as well as we go throughout this game. But let's start there. Why don't you just explain to me and everybody else what happened in that third quarter? Because just looking at the score, it looks like the Celtics just didn't play much defense. Is that what happened?
That's somewhat adequate. You can argue they really didn't play that much defense all night. But what happened in the third quarter particularly was that they made the focal point of their offense, Nikola Pekovic, and frankly, the Celtics don't have anyone on the roster capable of single covering the guy. It created all sorts of open space all over the floor. So you saw Georgie Dang cutting the basket repeatedly, getting wide open layups and other such things from cuts. Andrew Wiggins went on the block a couple of times, and he took advantage of his size advantage as well. But again, it was mostly the fact that they made Petkovic the focal point of their offense in that third quarter, and the Celtics really don't have anything to stop that cat.
Yeah, very interesting. By the time I tuned back in, they were down about 8 or 10, and they made a small run there in the fourth quarter. But overall, just a night, it seemed, where the team just didn't have any energy, Calvin. And whether it's because they didn't have guys that could cover Petkovic, because you're absolutely right about that. Minnesota must have realized something at halftime. I don't know, I didn't figure it out going into the game, but if that's it, it sounds like you're describing the fact that they figured out that, like you said, nobody can cover Petkovic, and whether he's going to get shots on his own or the double team finds an open player for an easy layup, that they took advantage of that. So they should be doing that in a lot of situations and a lot of games, night in, night out.
You're right about that. I don't think they're very well coached. We can get into them. They're an interesting team. They have a lot of advantage matchups if you want to look at on an individual basis, but they don't really function very well as a team, and that's probably why they're 8-37. But another problem in that third quarter was Zach LaVine had, I believe, two alley-oops, got behind the defense consistently, got out for some fast breaks. They really weren't getting back in transition, particularly in that quarter, and I think that hurt them as well.
Well, Zach LaVine kind of speaks to your point about them being poorly coached, even though they won the game. Where was he in the fourth quarter? You didn't see a minute. What was that about?
Yeah, I'm surprised that he's their starter, because he really does not very efficient with the basketball. You know, he turns the ball over a lot. The problem is that, you know, I realize that Ricky Rubio's out right now, and so they're trying to go with the rookie, but his court vision is not ideal from what you would want from your point guard. So I imagine he's probably cost him several games. Obviously, neither you or I watch the Timberwolves on a regular basis, but I would imagine he's probably cost him several games and an opportunity to win, because he's a 19-year-old point guard who, you know, for all his athleticism, and he is an athlete supreme. I'm excited to see him in the dunk contest. Yeah, he's not exactly a guy you want running your team. I mean, he's only averaging 3 assists a game. Like I said, he got behind the Celtics defense consistently tonight, and that's why he went 7 of 9. But it's not like he hit 1 3, but it's not like he's a 3-point shooter or just a jump shooter who's gonna, like an Avery Bradley type, who's just gonna go off if you don't cover him. Basically, all you have to do is protect the rim with that guy. And yeah, the Celtics didn't do an admirable job of that tonight, despite the fact that that's the one position on the floor where they didn't have a significant size disadvantage. You know, you look at the Timberwolves starting lineup. That's one thing I wanted to get to. It's interesting because not only Petkovic, okay, like the only guy, you know, comparable to him, even in height when he's on the floor, was Zeller, but, you know, Zeller doesn't have the mass to
Oh, man, did Zeller just get manhandled by Petkovic tonight, huh? Holy crap.
Yeah, but then you put a guy like Sullinger out there, and it's like, okay, Petkovic is huge, but Dang is like 6'11", 7 feet tall. Thaddeus Young is, you know, a huge small forward. Certainly Wiggins.
And Wiggins is a big two guard when you get to it. And actually, LaVine is really a big point guard, if you're going to call him a point guard. So this is a very interesting lineup, and I'm interested to see how long they go. The Flip Saunders goes like this, because I mean, a whole lot else, unless he wants to bring Kevin Martin into the starting lineup, and I want to get into him in a second as well. But maybe something will change when Shabazz Muhammad comes back from his injury. But it doesn't. I mean, for now, I think this is a good way to go, because Jeng's been playing pretty much out of his mind for the past few weeks since Petkovic has been hurt. And now Petkovic is back. Pairing them together is one of the most formidable front court duos. And then you're not even looking at Thaddeus Young, because he's having an excellent season in his own right.
Well, it surprises me that Young and Andrew Wiggins specifically can get their shots off. The Celtics announcers kept talking about how Wiggins has improved his scoring average over the last. And it's fascinating to me, because with this lineup, like, Wiggins gets most of his shots inside now by overpowering smaller players, but I wonder, you know, part of that is I'm guessing that other teams have to guard him with a smaller player because they're playing these huge lineups. But on the other hand, you'd have to feel like their spacing is totally messed up, right? This team has no shooters. I know Kevin Martin's been out basically the entire season. He just got back. This was literally his first game back. Didn't look great in my opinion in the game. I know you want to you feel like you got the benefit of the doubt on a few calls, so we can get to that right after this. But yeah, I didn't think he was that effective. But maybe, you know, if he gets his 3 points drove going, you replace one of those. You know, I guess you'd have to replace Thaddeus Young, maybe move Wiggins to the three. Maybe they have something interesting. I don't know.
Well, Brian Scalabrine on the Comcast broadcast disagrees with you. He thought Kevin Martin was on fire. I disagree with both of you. I'm somewhere else here. And yeah, I am going to wonder if he should be getting superstar type calls, because while you and I were texting before the show, and I was sort of complaining about that, the fact that Marcus Thornton, I thought, got screwed over on a couple of ticky-tack cheap calls, and you said that he impeded the progress. While I would agree that he impeded the progress, I still think that it's a cheap call, and it's something that the league supposedly was trying to do away with as far as offensive players jumping into defensive players and getting calls against them. Those shots were basically uncontested, and that's why Martin knocked them both down, and they were at relatively big spots in the game, helping Minnesota to get to a 9 or 10 point lead and just extend things and keep things out of reach. Marcus Thornton was clearly frustrated, and I'm not saying that he should get the benefit of the doubt with calls like that, but I just feel like one referee in particular was out to give Kevin Martin something in that matchup, and it's just, I mean, you could say it, I guess, in every NBA game, but I just wanted to complain about it a little bit.
I feel like on the first one, Martin was on the other side of the court. I'm sorry, not Martin.
Thornton. Marcus Thornton.
Sometimes, yeah, Marcus Thornton was on the other side of the court. The ball was swung around to Martin. He realized it was his responsibility. It sort of, you know, again, rushed at him. I felt like Martin was trying to cut to the basket, but Thornton put his body, it was basically ran into him, at which point Martin raised up and shot. And you could say, yeah, his foul didn't affect the shot, but he wouldn't have taken that shot if Thornton hadn't run into him. Like, you have to call that foul. The body contact.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that Thornton had backed off a little bit on that first one. And the second one, I thought was even worse, but maybe that's just because he had got the first call, and I don't know.
The second one,
30 seconds. No big deal. What?
I said the second one was a little more debatable to me, but...
okay, good.
Yeah. So I can understand that. But, I mean, ultimately, to call him out for getting superstar calls when you're talking about two calls over the course of a game, I mean, he shot six free throws. It's not like he shot 16.
Yeah, so that's the other part of this Kevin Martin thing. Scalabrine, like I said, thought that he was on fire, and oh, he kept saying he's been out for 34 games, and he just comes back and he's on fire. And when he said that, Mike Gorman said, "Yeah, he's 7 of 17." Now, that's a pretty good shooting percentage for a guy, for a jump shooter. 2 of 6 from three, not bad, but not great. First game back, pretty good. That's not on fire. So I think too much credit there. But he did look good out there in his first game back, and a volume shooter. So if they're looking for a spread the floor, this is the thing. So back to your point, to do that, then they need to play him a little bit more. And that's why I'm a big lineup for Minnesota very long. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
We have a classic Rory cutout situation. But you're in and out of me a little bit, but
I'm sweet.
Trying to make sense of what you said there. I you went 7 of 18, apparently, which is, you know, I'm trying to pull up my calculator,
right.
But that's not an efficient night. But I think Scalabrine brought that up at a time in which Kevin Martin, he was like 3 for 4 in that stretch, and that was the stretch with the Marcus Thornton situation where he just had a brief run in that fourth quarter where I think he scored 8 or 9 points in a row, and that was basically his only effective stretch in the game. Outside of that period of time, he was pretty much cold for the rest of the game. He had a lot of open shots, I thought, that didn't go down at all. I actually felt the same way about Avery Bradley. He had a lot of shots that were wide open, because especially in the first half, the Timberwolves seemed to play way under a lot of those double screens that Celtics like to run for Bradley. He had some wide open looks that just weren't going in at all, and his legs looked real flat. I felt the same way about Kevin Martin. His legs did not look fresh to me at all, and maybe he got going because of those two Marcus Thornton fouls, and he had another jump shot or two in that little period. But outside of that, I didn't think he had a good game.
Yeah, well, wasn't necessarily ready to go, but I think that Bradley was probably flat because the whole team really looked flat tonight. I think the end of this road trip really caught up to them tonight, and that's how you drop one in Minnesota, because that team is not good.
No, it is not. It is not very good at all, but, you know, like you said, it was the end of a long road trip, a successful road trip, so you knew there was going to be at least one game in this road trip where you know, they came out flat and they didn't look prepared to even be there. And tonight was that night. I mean, you got to be glad that it only happened once.
I am glad that it only happened once. So they're 3-3 on this road trip. Now, before we talk about what changed in this road trip, I want to tell everybody and remind them, of course, that we are on Facebook as well as Twitter. I mentioned Twitter earlier, but go to clnsradio.com/Facebook and check out our there. And then also while you're on CLNS, go to clnsradio.com survey, our quick demographic survey, and you can even tell us what you think about us. And that's wonderful. Since the Celtics are not playing well, I'll remind everybody, they're playing well now, but in general, their record is pretty poor. Is that sort of looking into the past and where what they were before? Check out Larry H. Russell's new book, about the dark ages of the Boston Celtics. He focuses on the bad decisions that were made, bad luck, just a bad franchise for a little while. If you want to read about that, check it out on CLNS. They gave away a copy on January 5th, so you can find your own as well now. Go do that. Okay, Calvin. Changed on this road trip. Well, here's my quick theory, and we don't have to spend too much time on this, but I did want to talk about it because I think some people are thinking that this guy might be the person that changed things for the Celtics. The one and only Tayshaun Prince, Calvin, a veteran leader, a journeyman. All right, maybe not that much, but I think he's had a positive impact on the team. Can we at least?
Oh yeah, I don't know if you stopped talking or not. Again, you're cutting out, but definitely. You know, it's an interesting question about whether or not he should even be playing as much as he is playing. And just to briefly say, I was glad to see James Young out on the floor tonight at the end of the game. I thought that was a good, you know, little moment for him. I realized they probably knew they weren't going to win, but it's just nice having him, you know, out there closing out a game. But that being said, yeah, Tayshaun has definitely had an impact on this team. It's funny when you're a veteran who knows how to play basketball, but you realize, you know, you go to a team like the Celtics where, you know, they don't have the defined roles that he had on Memphis, where he was expected to, you know, not shoot a lot and just come off and, you know, do one thing, play defense, and not really do anything. And he comes to the Celtics, and there's a lot more opportunities for somebody who's hungry. It's good to see a veteran like that take advantage of that opportunity and go out there and actually, you know, take shots. I don't remember Tayshaun Prince being so aggressive while in Memphis, and I know that has a lot to do with his role, but you're right, on this team, he's out there, he's playing the defensive lanes, he took 9 shots tonight, scored 12 points, he played half the game, and that's much more than I would have expected when the Celtics picked this guy up.
And he's been consistently getting these minutes, too. It's almost as if Brad Stevens didn't really... I mean, when Brandon Roy came over, he had this growing pains type of thing, and Stevens was like, oh, I can't... I don't know where I'm going to put this guy in my lineup. I don't know what to do. But Tayshaun Prince shows up, and granted, he's been in the league a lot more. He's more versatile as a player, I think. And he is definitely more of a veteran presence than Brandon Wright. But the point is that Stevens just threw him in there and totally trusted him and said, that's fine by me. We're going to just put you in there. And he's done positive things. Now, the whole argument between him versus James Young, I think once garbage time shows up, you're going to start seeing James Young. But this, I'm starting to wonder now if Danny Ainge targeted a guy like Tayshaun Prince in this Jeff Green trade. I don't want to give Ainge too much credit or sound like I'm patting him on the back or something like that. But is this the type of player that he actually was hoping to get back? Or back to the old question, was Ainge trying to tank with this Jeff Green trade? I would like to believe that he thought bringing Tayshaun Prince back would have some sort of a positive impact because he chose to sign this guy as opposed to waiving him like Chris Douglas Roberts or a Nate Robinson.
I would like to have somebody pose that question to Danny Ainge. Maybe we can get Jared to do it. I don't know if he's ever on the GM press conferences, but I'm sure he is. But yeah, the idea of, well, like you said, why was Tayshaun the guy that he kept? Why did Jameer Nelson go? Maybe I realize part of it probably has to do with roster balance. He has enough point guard. So, Nelson and Robinson were probably gone. Whereas the team without Jeff Green doesn't quite have enough swingmen. And so, Jay Crowder is starting, but he's kind of only a starter in name only at this point, right? I mean, it is interesting that he keeps getting that respect start, but he only played 15 minutes tonight. He's not really an impactful player on the offense. He kind of, limits Brad Stevens' scheme, which, again, is spreading the floor and not really having any non-shooters out there, even though that's what he is, non-shooter. So I wonder if maybe they'd be better off moving Tayshaun into that starting lineup for now. Just, again, I realize having him on there is just to have that veteran presence to teach the younger guys. It makes sense to me.
I mean, maybe it's just that Jay Crowder, I don't know, he that's the way he's going to get his minutes as a starter because he's not worthy to come in any other time. I don't know. I'm still doubting her. He had a couple of games, but that's about it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
is it bad? The choppiness? Can you not understand anything that's going on?
Yeah, it comes in and out. The times you're clear, the times that you are in and out, and I sort of have to try to piece together what you might be saying. But, yeah, so let's talk about Sullinger for a minute. I always speak about Sullinger as a matchup player, and I feel like he has difficult matchups at times where he's not going to look particularly productive. But I think tonight the sluggishness of the trip probably factored into it because he just really didn't even seem to be trying for long periods of the time. And he picked up 5 fouls that, hurt your aggressiveness as well. But certainly he looked overmatched in there trying to either guard Pekovic or gang in there. What do you think about him tonight?
Well, I think you said it to me before the game or before the show is that his energy was down. And so that's the biggest problem with Jared Sullinger's game is that when his energy is not the greatest athlete out there, he's fastest guy or the quickest guy. He's all about positioning, but he needs to be a high energy player. I thought he was good for the fact that it's at the end of a road trip and he was going up against guys that are much bigger than him and he had to try and hold it down in the paint against those guys. Let's go back to our favorite stat. He was a minus 22 tonight, Calvin. Not that really means anything, and I would expect that to happen, but you're looking at this on paper, it seemed as though he would be very overmatched, and I thought he held his own.
it is funny. You know how anti plus minus I am, and then you brought that up right now, and then I just noticed the other guy out there who had the bad minus was Bradley, who I also said looked sluggish out there. So the two guys that I complained about had the worst plus minus on the team. But and again, you know, going back to the way they played,
you should start believing.
It's been the bench, man. It's the bench.
It really has been.
Although I look at Thornton's stats, 7-13. Like, I just, you know what it is? I just hate watching Marcus Thornton play, man. Every time he gets the ball, he just creates for himself. You know, everything dies.
He really does. Like, yeah, it's all about me. You're right.
Yeah. That's what I forgot to mention earlier. So, the one of those two fouls that he committed against Kevin Martin in that fourth quarter. One of the times where he was out of position was because he was complaining to the refs about not getting an and one on a made shot, and Kevin Martin was wide open on the other end. He had to run over there at the last second. I mean, bro, you're having a decent game. You made your basket. Like, just go down to the other end and, like, talk to him about it later. You know what I mean? Like, play your defense. This guy just, his selfishness drives me nuts sometimes. But that being said, everybody else I thought was great. Marcus Smart, man. I don't know what he did since hurting his ankle, but somehow he turned himself into a legit three-point shooter. Went 4 or 5 tonight. He's shooting well over 40% since.
Yeah, I think he's just been. I think he's just been working on it. And I mean, even before the injury, he wasn't a great shooter, but he was shooting, and they can encourage him to shoot. Maybe he's just been working on it since the injury and all of that, and becoming a good shooter, because I think that he's always had the confidence to jack it up from out there, but he's hit some big shots in the last couple of weeks here.
Yeah, my only concern with it is that he doesn't elevate much on his jump shot, particularly his three-point shot. It's almost a flat-footed shot, which is working for him right now, because I think that people don't it seems like defenses don't respect his perimeter shot. He's getting that shot open. I'm not quite sure how effective it would continue to be if he starts getting that respect and people stay with him and he's got, you know, bigger guards up in his face. But as for now, though he did hit one tonight with a hand up in his face, so I guess I can't, be too hard on him for that. But I would like to see him, a little bit more consistent about hitting shots inside the three-point line. But for now, you know, you're going to take him and make him. I can't complain too much. And his defense, I thought his defense tonight was awesome too. And he's the one guy, you know, where it's like he's just got that body combined with the quickness of youth, where it's like, yeah, Minnesota poses a tough matchup, a tough series of one-on-one matchups, but not for Smart, man. You can move him around to whoever. He'll guard Andrew Wiggins in the post. He doesn't have a problem with that.
No, he doesn't have a problem with any of that. He's a bulldog down there. He doesn't care who you are. He'd probably guard Pekovic down there. I mean, he'd get run over probably, but he'd put a for sure. And that's part of the things that the big thing that I like about this kid. He really takes the energy from the other team and makes it his own. And I'm kind of a strange thing to say now that I run that back in my head, but he can have a game just by walking onto the court multiple times this year.
Yeah, definitely.
But you know what else he may have done, Calvin? I bet that he kickstarted his new year with a free 10-day trial to lynda.com. That's lynda.com. Lynda probably taught Marcus Smart a better way to shoot those corner three-pointers that people love to talk about. Maybe he also learned about WordPress and Photoshop on lynda.com, because you can learn about those things too. And like I said, the 10-day free trial is free. Your favorite free for favorite word that starts with F. Put up. For ad-libbing the live read. You can also probably learn how to do a better live read on lynda.com. So maybe I'll go check it out for that. lynda.com/CLNS and get your free 10-day to learn something today. But yes.
Do you think that he may have used lynda.com to Photoshop himself a rookie sophomore game jersey?
I was out to try and roll into that segment myself, and you just did it for me, sir. I'm sure that he did. Maybe he went there and said, I need to Photoshop my name onto this rookie sophomore game jersey because I was snubbed. I was snubbed. I'm one of the top six picks in the draft, and I don't get into the rookie sophomore game. Now, seriously, again, this is another thing that I picked up on the Comcast broadcast. Scal was harping on this, and maybe he did have a chip on his shoulder because there are four Minnesota Timberwolves slated at rookie sophomore game, assuming Shabazz Muhammad is healthy. So maybe Marcus Smart looked at this game as needed to prove something, and that's why he came on fire and playing like a bulldog like we've seen before, but extra chip on his shoulder. Of why he played well tonight. If he should be in that game, and should he be a little ticked off that he's not?
I haven't taken a look at the rosters. I'm pulling them up right now. Do you just, are there some guys that you feel like shouldn't have made it? I mean, Smart, I don't know, how many games has Smart missed? Maybe like 15? Not that many, right? Taking a look.
No, he missed a game, so I think that's what my excuse was going to be, because I thought that was something that probably hurt his status in the voters in this year's rookie sophomore game. Go ahead.
I was going to say Kelly Olynyk made the team. Maybe he could replace him.
Right.
I realize it's a rookie sophomore thing, but it's a draft-based thing, so it really doesn't matter as long as you're a rookie or a sophomore. I mean,
correct.
You could say, Dante Exum or Zach LaVine. You can try to make the argument for Smart over those guys, but I think the problem is they've gotten more exposure because they've been starters, where Marcus Smart really hasn't gotten that opportunity. But should he?
But should he? I mean, he still has made headlines, I would think, and he's, I don't know, maybe it's just that I'm wearing the green goggles right now. But
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go. You go. Should he what?
No, I would say, should he get that opportunity? You know, like you look at Minnesota, they realize they're not going anywhere. I realize also Rubio's hurt, so it's like, what are they going to do? Give LaVine that opportunity or go with Lorenzo Brown? You know, of course, LaVine's going to get that spot, ready or not. And who was the other guy? Dante Exum. Dante Exum is getting that spot over Trey Burke, who, you know, Trey Burke's not great, but he's certainly, at this moment, a better player than Dante Exum. Should Smart at this point be getting that opportunity?
Okay. And what about Schroeder? You're like saying that Schroeder is automatically ahead of Marcus Smart at this point, even though he's behind Jeff Teague and he doesn't really play at all.
I think that if you look at what Schroeder's doing in the minutes that he's played, I do think that right now he's a better player than Marcus Smart. Yeah. I'm
Trey Burke?
You're not a fan of Schroeder. I guess they call him Mini Rondo.
No, I do like Schroeder. I do like Schroeder, but I like Smith. Maybe it's just me being a green Celtics fan right now. I just, some of these guys, I don't get. Trey Burke, I mean, I guess he's having a better than he had last year.
I think to me, Exum and LaVine are the two guys where you go, you know, maybe you could put Smart in there to replace them. But again, I just think it has to do with the fact that they're being showcased and Smart isn't, which is, you know, brings up the question is like, should he be showcased a little more than he has?
I think so. Maybe they don't like his image. Maybe they feel like from a marketing standpoint, they don't like him for some reason. But I would love to see him there. I think that he's a great, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh man, love it when that happens to me. I'm losing my mind, man. I just think that he would be good to put him out there. I think that despite having that run in at Oklahoma State with the fan, he has turned things around, and his image should be a little bit clear to have to worry about whether he should be put into the spotlight or not. And I think as a player, he certainly deserves it. So there's nothing. That's what I'm trying to get at.
All right. Well, you know, maybe he's the type of guy who's better off if he doesn't make it. Maybe he'll turn it into fuel, you know. Maybe he'll, 5 years from now, he'll be punishing Dante Exum for making the team over.
That would be something else, wouldn't it? But now he's just probably just going to be working on his game for those few days during the off.
There you go. Yeah, he'll come back from that break with like a new lefty hook shot.
I think score wrong earlier.
What's that?
No, I score wrong earlier. I said it was 107.96. I wrote something else somewhere else. Well, this has certainly been me feeling like I'm losing my mind tonight.
That was a rough
what else?
Change.
Yeah, that was not me cutting out. That was just me being sloppy my brain right now. This podcast has probably died. If anybody's still listening to this, they're like, what is this guy doing?
You're the voice of Seattle.
What was the other thing that we were going to talk about? See, this is what I was warning you about before. 40 minutes in, and I'm going to lose it.
You did. Well, we are 40 minutes in, so we could end it now if we wanted to, right?
I guess we might as well in a minute or two. The fact, let's get back to Zach LaVine for a second, because we're just talking about the Rising Stars Challenge and this. Flip Saunders played a guy and on a 10-point in the fourth quarter over Zach LaVine. Now, is that really warranted? I don't trust this kid in the fourth quarter, or maybe they've lost games. I know we don't know specifics, but that's kind of just what we're assuming. Even if that's the case, you're going to put in a 10-day contract D-League guy instead of the guy that you're trying to up as your quote-unquote future? Where's the logic there?
Well, it's like I was just saying about Smart. I agree with you. Like, I think when you're – like, I don't believe in tanking. I'm opposed to tanking. But I do think that there's a way – there's something called development and trying to focus on making the players on your team better for next year. And if that costs you wins, then so be it, right? Like the only way to – not the only way, but, like, the best way to – make somebody better is through reps. You know, it's like the football theory of like putting Peyton Manning in as a rookie to go 1-15. Like, could you have started somebody else and gone, you know, 7-9 or 6-10? I'm sure they could have, but they started Peyton Manning so he could get the experience to become a better player. Like, keeping Zach LaVine in the games, it's going to make him a better player. Maybe they don't see him as their starter long term anyway because Rubio's coming back. And so I guess that could be an issue in and of itself, but you're right. I would still rather see him out there losing the game. They have Mo Williams on the roster too, so I don't know why they're playing this Lorenzo Brown guy over him even. But yeah, I think that obviously there's a middle ground between, you know, completely not ever trying to win and not developing guys versus, like, at a certain point, you want your young guys out there. Look at what Milwaukee's doing with their young guys. All of a sudden, you know, Jason Kidd took so much crap for being a bad coach. All of a sudden, they're out there with the young guys, different lineups. Like, all those guys are playing crunch time minutes, and that's going to help them in a year or two. Like, you're going to develop faster when your guys get those minutes. And so maybe Smart should be out there at the end of the game as opposed to Evan Turner, even though Evan Turner has better court vision than you did.
That shows that they actually believe in Evan Turner, and that they don't think all is lost on him either. And I think the Ainge brought him in for reasons because, I mean, he thought he saw a good value in Evan Turner. and that maybe he overvalued him a little bit. Maybe the coach and the rest of the staff is looking at Evan Turner as a guy that they can have around here for a little while. Who knows the way that they look at it. I'm not in the huddle, obviously. So, either way, I think that Minnesota is going about it all wrong because Flip Saunders is a moron. How about that? No, I'm kidding. Of course, we love Flip around here. He's a friend of the franchise, I'm sure. Yeah, we love Flip. Why wouldn't you love Flip? He's a lovable scamp.
Oh, I don't mind Flip, but you said we love Flip around here. Like, Flip from Boston or something? He looks like he'd be from Boston.
He's not from Boston, but he had ties to the organization, and he was involved in the Kevin Garnett situation somehow. Just the whole time that KG was here, I think he was involved with the organization at that point as well. Yeah, I don't think anybody has any complaints about Flip Saunders around here, but that still doesn't mean he's a very good basketball coach. That's a story for a different night, I think, Calvin. Also a story for a different night is the fact that Jared Weiss will be back after this road trip on Friday night after the Celtics take on the Houston Rockets. You can hear the post-game show right here on CLNS Radio. It will be Rich Conte's final show in the post-game show series, unless we're really in a pinch, beg him to come back, because he is going to be just on Celtics beat. He's radio, so don't worry about that, people. But yeah, Friday night will be Rich's final show. We also will have Nick Gelso stepping in, I believe, unless we find somebody else that wants to do it. So let's do the show with Rich on Friday. Let me know. That means you too, buddy. But I don't expect you to. Okay, so yeah. The point of that whole little thing there is that Jared will be back and doing the Garden Report after the game, which he does after every Celtics game that's at home. And you can check it out on youtube.com/CLNSradio. He's wonderful. He gets interviews with some great players, and he does a great job. And I'm trying to get him to be a host on one of the podcasts in February. So we'll see how that works out. But until then, check out the Garden Report. Anything else that you'd like to say to the people, Calvin?
No, I mean, we have a show called Careless Whispers. Who knows when we're going to do it again. You heard Rory accidentally play our music at the start of the show, in case you haven't heard our show and you were wondering what that was. But
was that an accident? Or was I just being a radio guy? That's it. But yeah, trying to work that out as well. Maybe we'll do a show tomorrow. We should definitely do a show before the Super Bowl. So let's try and maybe a surprise Saturday show, like our first show ever. maybe that's what'll happen. But either way, check out Careless Whispers, and you know where you can find that, Calvin?
On CLNS.
That's right, you can, but also on the CLNS Radio mobile app on iPhone, iPad, or Android devices, and it's free. That's the other thing that is free. We're just giving out stuff for free.
Oh, I like free.
Yeah, free. Download that app. A million people. They listen to us. They love us. They also go to clnsradio.com/patrons, and they check that out. And that, my friends, is the worst live read in the history of live reads. That's going to do it for us tonight. Thank you for listening. I think Celtics lose 107-96 in Minnesota.
Right. I think it's 110-98.
I wrote down 110-98, but this thing is saying 107-96. I'm looking right at it. Oh, I've said 107-96 like three or four times, and it was actually 110-98. That's what I wrote down, but I was going with what I saw on the screen here. Let's do the whole show again. Let's do it all again. Wrap it up. No, 110 to 98. That's That's a little bit worse than 107-96, but they drop it to 3-3 in the road trip, and I am totally embarrassed now. What a failure that is. Thank you, Calvin, for correcting me 45 minutes into the show. Yeah, we're cool.
I think we're good.
We are good. Tune in on Friday night when Rich Conte will definitely have the score right. For Calvin Chamberlain, I am Matt Rury. This has been the CLNS Radio Celtics postgame show.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNS Radio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcasts on the web.